Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast with me, your host, Pete Rooker. This week we're talking about the Scandinavian Invasion, which sounds like it could be the name of Bjorn Borg's sex tape, if ever there was one. Alas, there's not, to my knowledge, so instead we're focusing on Scandinavian menswear, what it is about their unstructured minimalism and neutral tones that resonate so much with the British consumer. You'd have heard of the Scandinavian giants Jay Lindenberg, Cheap Monday, Dolph Lundgren, but what are the brands whose mastheads will soon be emerging on the North Sea horizon? We speak to Marcus Gardell from our Days March, a menswear label based in Stockholm, now in its third year. We talk about how the name A Day's March is derived from an old military term referring to how far an army could move in one single day. We talk about the Spring Summer 17 collection, which introduces clean-cut basics and wardrobe staples, and he also tells me how he wants to see wet t-shirt competitions be introduced at the Olympic Games.
I believe in this. I still believe in this, and I still believe in the future.
I'm also joined in the studio this week by my Swedish cousin, my very distant Swedish cousin, Inga, and her boyfriend. Inga only knows a little English, but was very keen to join me in the studio this week, so say hello, Inga.
I am Inga from Sweden.
I'm also going to be talking to Klaus Bondelind, founder of Klaus Goran. We talk about how his designs have given cosmopolitan luxury bums a new place to shop in Stockholm, and how he used to lock himself away in his study for weeks on end, pretending to be designing products, while secretly binge-watching episodes of Gladiators.
After a while, my becoming wife knocked the door and asked me what I was doing, and I lied and said that I was working with some sneaker project.
That interview coming up shortly. So, Inga, introduce me to your boyfriend. What's his name?
Hey, back off. I'll rip out your eyes and piss on your brain.
I got it. And lastly, we're going to be speaking to Chris Chasseau, UK brand manager for Norwegian Rain, who have already hit our shores and have a flagship store here in London. We talk about the technology of the coats, how the UK audience has responded to their arrival, and Chris tells me about how he justifies putting his old wife fronts on eBay for £1,000 a pop.
Luckily, I think the garments speak for themselves. So once people take a closer look, they can tell the quality and why it's that price.
That interview coming up shortly. But before we crack on, a little bit of housekeeping. If you're not there already, head over to the website at www.menswearstyle.co.uk. There you'll find all the blogs, reviews and competitions, grooming tips, etc. Make sure you're following us on the social at Menswear Style. Download the Menswear Style app. Simply punch in Menswear Style into your app store and we'll keep you updated on all the action relating to menswear over on the site. Lastly, and most importantly, subscribe to us in iTunes. Type in Menswear Style into the search bar and leave us a lovely 5-star review if you like what you hear. That will help us get noticed amongst our peers and make the podcast more readily available to others. If you have any questions or would like to be featured on the show, then you can write to me, Peter, at menswearstyle.co.uk. Okay. Are you ready for this one, Inga?
Yeah, for sure, from Sweden.
Excellent. Here is that interview with Marcus Gardell, founder of A Day's March. Okay, I'd like to introduce to the podcast Marcus Gardell. I hope I've got that somewhere near the pronunciation, Marcus. How are you doing today?
Yes, I'm good, thank you.
Excellent, great. So, Marcus, you're the founder and owner of A Day's March, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Great. Could you just tell us a little bit about yourself, please? Tell us a little bit about the brand as well.
Yeah, sure. we started this company about 3 years ago, and We saw an opening in the market. I've been in retail before, or actually selling eyewear to wholesale. And I saw that there was a lot of markups in the fashion industry. And I've always been thinking about that. And then I was buying a shirt and came across that. I was thinking, why does a shirt have to cost, a white simple shirt have to cost between 100 and 150 euros. Mm-hmm. And I was realizing that's because of all the middlemen. So I was thinking maybe you could do something about this and skip the middleman if you do direct to consumer. So I was starting looking into the shirt business, and I realized that there were a lot of brands in the premium high-end segment. And then there were a lot of players in the lower end, like H&M and Zara. But there was no one really in the middle. So I was what if you could start a company doing quality products and really focus on the quality and have a friendly price? Mm-hmm. And so I teamed up with two other guys that I know, Pelle Lundqvist and Stefan Pugias, and they're also founders of the company. And they come from the advertising industry. And Pelle is an art director, and he's been working with fashion before, and so has Stefan, who is a copywriter.
Right.
And we started talking about this idea, and and then we came up with let's do a day's march, and we launched about almost 3 years ago now in Sweden.
Okay, so you've got a couple of stores in Stockholm, is that right? Is it three stores in Stockholm, one in Gothenburg?
Yeah, correct. Yep. Yeah,
and next year, I believe you're, or is it this year, you're looking to get into Copenhagen?
Yeah, we're actually looking at Copenhagen and Oslo. It depends on where we find a good location.
Okay. I'm curious, Marcus, why are you opting to go for more bricks and mortar as opposed to just being an online force?
Well, the whole idea from the beginning is to get the volume online to get the good sales. But we believe that it's important for the brand building. It's also important for people to get to know the brand, to get to know the products by feeling them, seeing them. We also like that we have a really close connection to our customers through our employees in the store. So we believe it's very important to have that, and it works. People go into our shop, talk to our guys there, feel the products, and then they do a lot of online buying as well. So I still believe in this, and I still believe in the future. And by saying so, I don't mean that we should have 100 or 500 shops across Europe. Maybe it's enough with 15 or 20. But I still really believe it's a strong need to have brick and mortar as well.
And where do you source your fabrics from? Is it all within the Scandinavian market, or do you go outside for that?
Yeah, we do source it. We do mainly production in Europe. We do a lot of in Portugal, Turkey, some in Italy, Baltics. We do also in some in Asia, but I would say 80-90% is in Europe.
Okay. And what's the best market for you outside of Scandinavia? Which countries are regularly buying your stuff?
We actually started international shipping just this November, so we can't really say. We have some good customers in the UK, some in the US, but it's quite small yet, I have to say.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit of your press release, and in terms of demographic, I think you were saying that you wanted to position yourself somewhere between Zara and H&M, and then maybe Acne and Alexander Wang. I don't know if I've got that the right way around.
Yeah, well, it was something like that.
So why, in general, about Scandinavian brands, has there been such a renaissance in the last couple of years? Do you think it's because we're now more aware of buying online and sourcing outside of our own market, as it were? So, like, if we're in the UK, for example, you know, we're just traditionally buying menswear in the UK and whatever's on the high street, but now we can have a look outside and seeing what other countries are doing. It seems like there's a huge wave of Scandinavian brands that are entering the UK now.
Yeah, I've seen that too. We're doing really well. I think, of course, it has to do something with the Scandinavian design. It's quite it's doing quite well everywhere now.
What is it about the Scandinavian design that's so different?
I don't know. Maybe we have it's more minimalistic. but otherwise, I really can't say.
I was going to say, especially your stuff, if you want to, by the way, if anyone wants to check out A Day's March, and I recommend they do, it's adaysmarch.com. You'll have a look at their site there. And on the social, you're at Day's March. But you've it seems very clean. A lot of the Scandinavian styling I look at, it doesn't seem very busy. There's no huge logos splashed across the front like huge athleisure wear companies do. So it seems like you say, very minimalist, but almost very IKEA, for want of not wanting to tread on a cliche.
I guess you're right. No, but that's what we want to do. We want to offer quality staples and basic products that last, that are not trendy, more we're more concerned with style rather than trend. So we don't like big logos. And I guess when you're saying it that's a Scandinavian way to present products, maybe.
Right. And sorry, Marcus, just to backpedal a little bit. So you team up with your friends and you get the right people in to set the company up. But how do you actually go about then doing the designs? Do you have to then make a few phone calls and say, well, who do I know that can design clothes? And how do you vet those, et cetera, that come in?
Yeah, we started off us three doing the design, doing the production. And we realized quite soon that we're not really good at this. We know the design, but we're not good at productions. We had a lot of problems in the beginning. Mm. But we know it. So we picked some styles that we like and we redid them. And then we started hiring a production manager who helped us with all the production. But the design is more or less made by ourselves, and in particular Pelle, who's a creative director and also in charge of all the design of the product.
Did they take much? Oh, sorry to cut you off. Did they take much convincing to come on board? Because I know whenever I try and get my mates involved in a project, it's always like, well, you know, the last one didn't quite work out, and by the way, I've got a mortgage, I've got kids, you know, I've got a gym this afternoon, I don't know if I've got time.
No, that's always like that, but as I don't know, but there's like a big wave here in especially in Sweden with the startup wave, and a lot of people wants to be on board on startup companies. Right. And no, I don't think the convincing was that hard. I think we have a good product and we have a really exciting journey in front of us and we want to grow. So,
well, I wish you all the best with it, Marcus. Again, that the brand is A Day's March and the website is adaysmarch.com. So I look forward to seeing more of you guys, and hopefully you'll be in London at some point soon. Marcus, just lastly, a tenuous question. Who's the most famous Swede out there at the moment?
I would say Zlatan
Ibrahimovic. I thought so. I asked this guy at a recent Volvo launch, and I said, is it Dolph Lundgren still? And he goes, no, he's way off the chart.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Zlatan's he's banging them in for Man United at the moment. So
he is.
Yeah, banged one against us actually, Liverpool. So I wasn't too happy to see that, but I've digressed. Thank you, Marcus. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Thank
All
you
right.
very much.
Take care of yourself. Bye bye. Marcus Gardeau there, and now a word from our sponsor.
These are Doctors Jared and Johansson from the Stockholm Institute.
Hey, you know I'm half Swedish. Hey, hur har resan varit hittills?
Yeah.
Well, just a second. Vad gör en svensk vetenskapsman så långt iväg från Sverige?
Hey, Raring. Jag hör en turf in Tom's penis.
How the hell did you do that?
Well, let me tell you something. Many of your finer nudie films come from Sweden. Well, after you see them 400 or 500 times, the stuff starts to sink in.
The inimitable John Candy there. Okay, now it's time to speak to Klaus Bondelind from Klaus Goran. Okay, so I'd like to introduce now Klaus Goran to the podcast. Klaus, you are the founder of Klaus Goran. Am I saying the name correctly?
Yes, Klaus Goran, but... I have to tell you that until some years ago, no one knew that my middle name was Göran. Klaus is an ugly name. Göran is awful. Klaus Göran together is disgusting. And brought up in the late 50s, it was a popular folk song saying, "Are you still in love with me, Klaus Göran?" And I was fighting too much at the schoolyard anyway to let them have the chance to know my ugly middle name.
I see. So, Klaus, tell us a little bit about the brand. How did it all start?
I started my career in the late 70s with my family name, Bondelid. And Bondelid turned out to be one of the biggest private brand in Sweden. And the bigger it became, the demand of doing clothes for many people that many people like increased.
Right.
And finally, I have left my own family name, so to speaking, and we're planning to retire, being a father again two times in my elder years. But it was so loudly at home, so I needed to escape and rented an office where I could sleep and read magazines and listen to music. And I covered the windows, and we were laying there. And after a while, my becoming wife knocked the door and asked me what I was doing. Yeah. And I lied and said that I was working with some sneaker project. And she let me be for a while, but she came back, and then I had done a small drawing on a pair of sneakers. And she asked me, "You must have done something else in 3 months than this drawing." Of course I have. I lied again, but asked her to leave. And in the same time, it was a magazine calling me and asked me to advertise. I have advertised there before. And they said, "It's very important that you do this now, because it's two Swedish journalists caught through the border to Ethiopia to find out about the oil industry, and now put to prison for 106 years each or something. And they were supposed to collect money for their girlfriends to be able to go there and give them a hug or send some cigarettes." Right. So I said, I don't have any company brand working any longer, but I could give you some money. Come on now, you have to advertise something." So I bought a double page, and I put in the drawing of the pair of sneakers that I've done. And then it was a long text starting with, "You can't buy this, it's just a drawing. But if I ever should have made sneakers," and then blah, blah, what should I have done? And they thought it was so funny paying for two double pages for something that didn't exist and that you couldn't sell. So this magazine, another magazine, put the ad in without any cost for me. So it was the most exposed product that never exists.
So you were advertising a product that wasn't even for sale, not even for sale, didn't even exist.
I thought maybe I should do this anyway, and then skipped the market that I was used to, Europe and mainly Sweden, and go to China and do so many sneakers so I can earn so much money so I could use that to buy stock companies that I don't like and fire the people and turn them down. That was the idea from the beginning.
Wow, that's fascinating. So what's the next step? What did you do from there?
This started as a, you can say, hobby project, and very expensive hobby project. And then I was out of lust. I would like to do clothes again, but this time without asking anyone what the fashion looks like or what is the demand of the customer or what. Mm. Would be a good price, just doing what I felt for, and also a little bit education from my point of view, what is nice design and good clothing. So we don't do clothes for many, many people. And I don't do black or white, for instance, because I don't like black or white, and people are asking for black, and they could go to many other places to find out.
So, Klaus, what is it about Scandinavian menswear, aside from the minimalist look, and how does it differ from menswear in other parts of Europe?
I said to my colleagues when they said, "Can we go somewhere and be inspired?" "What do you mean?" "New York, London, Paris, Hong Kong, Tokyo." And no, you can't. You can go there for vacation. If you should be inspired, go to a place you never thought of, like up in the mountains somewhere. But even better, close your eyes and invent something instead of going and be inspired of something already made and try to do a copy of that 1.5 years later. For me, Scandinavian brands, and again, please apologize me if I'm not on top of this, but it's very much black, and it's very minimalistic, and please don't look at me or don't see me. And for me, this is not me at all. The best compliment I had was after Jacket Required Fair, and it was a journalist saying, please look into Klaus-Göran, it's not Scandinavian at all.
So what were you looking to do different with your designs for Klaus-Göran?
Peter, let me tell you, when we really started with the clothes, maybe 2 years ago, in a professional way, me and my colleague, Monica Bartel, also designer, we put up some keywords, and we said, a French harbor in the 19th century, after Second World War, London, a little bit hippie, a little bit military, and something else that I don't remember. And then when the clothes come, we realized they had their own life, despite of what we had been saying. And then I remember my old office in the ground floor. Every morning when I came there, it was a bump looking for food and something useful in the garbage. And we started to say hello to each other. And he had such a... He was very stylish. He had very big trousers, and after 3 steps, they fall down. He didn't have any knickers. I took them up, and then he walked 3 steps, and it fell down. And one morning when I said hello to him, I remembered we had had a breakfast in the office. So I said to him, we probably have some sandwich and coffee if you are hungry. And he said yes, and came in. This was in the old day with my former brand, Bundelin. And he looked at me and said, are you working with clothes? Yes, and everything on this wall is from the period season. So if it's anything you fancy or like, please take what you want. And he looked at the clothes, and then he looked at me, and then he said, this is not my style. But he was very much my style. So it's a little bit like a tribute to him. Mm-hmm. We say sometimes, not so loud, but... we are doing clothes for wealthy bums.
So when you're looking to come to the UK then, Klaus, you got one store in Sweden. Are you looking to expand?
My dream is to open a store even in England, preferably in London. I would like to open one in Paris and one in Seoul. And we have started to... see the possibilities to do that, to have a chance to show the wider concept of Klaus-Göran. Also, strength out of that, I would say 50% of the customer we have here in Stockholm is from different parts of the world.
Right.
So we are not a very typical Swedish brand or a typical brand from anywhere, because It's a mixture. We are a fabric-driven brand, you can say. And but the possibilities to show our things in a wider market is of course would be fantastic.
Klaus Bondelin there from Klaus-Göran. And head over to the website. We'll put all the information in the show notes on the SoundCloud, and soon enough there'll be an article on the website as well, which is www.menswearstyle.co.uk. Okay, so the last interview of the day is with Chris Chasseau. He's going to be talking about Norwegian rain.
I am Inga from Sweden.
I got it. Thanks, Inga. Keep the stereotypes alive. Okay, here's Chris Chasseau from Norwegian rain. I'd like to welcome to the podcast now Chris Chasseau, who's the UK brand manager for Norwegian Rain. How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
Fantastic. Chris, could you just tell us, please, a little bit about Norwegian Rain for the uninitiated?
Okay, so Norwegian Rain has probably been going for about 6 years. Started in a place called Bergen, which is the north of Norway, deemed the wettest city in Europe. Basically, the concept was brought about by a gentleman called Alexander Heller, who wanted to create a rain wear brand that was a bit more elegant than what he saw on the market back then. So he then approached a bespoke tailor called T. Michael, who was in Bergen, the city that he lived in, with his idea to set up this brand. He was initially rejected and thrown out the shop, and T. Michael said, "Get out, I don't like the idea." But he persevered and kept going back on a few more occasions and slowly convinced T. Michael otherwise. They then got inspired, sketched out a few ideas, and from that initial concept, then the brand Norwegian Rain was born.
Okay, cool. And you've got stores all over the world now. You've got one in Piccadilly, you've got loads in Tokyo. So whereabouts is your market outside of Scandinavia right now? Or your biggest market?
Yeah, the biggest market is Japan. Mm. They have been very, very good for us. As you said, we have many stockists there. We don't have our own store. As Norwegian Rain stores, we have one in Bergen and Oslo. And then London now. And so we see the UK as the next big market, shall we say, after Norway and Japan.
Mm. Chris, just sorry, take me back one. What's so special about these jackets, in particular the technology that's inside them?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
So if you're talking about technology, what the guys are trying to do is find the best suppliers in the world that can tick all the boxes for what they were looking for, which was being completely waterproof, being breathable, and at the same time being able to create a fabric that had looked more elegant than performance-related fabric. So it is really, really high, got high waterproof qualities. The factory that produce it for us, they produce for the offshore industry. So it has to be waterproof and it has to be breathable. So in that respect, it satisfied the needs of Alex and P. Michael. But then putting that very high technical fabric into the garments, making it look like it's not technical, if that makes sense. So therefore, the jackets look like a more elegant raincoat or overcoat.
Okay. Is there something really special that I don't know about that's going on inside this jacket that's not going on inside any other jacket on the market right now?
Well, I would say these are completely waterproof. Of course, we have many people ask, is it water resistant, waterproof? We can confidently say it is waterproof. So you can be standing out in rain for hours and hours, and you'll stay dry. That's what we're completely confident about.
Cool. So how does this sit within the demographic of other brands that are coming out of Scandinavia right now? So are you noticing that there is this huge welter of brands that are kind of coming from the North Sea over to this way? And how do you fit amongst those?
I agree. I've seen many Scandinavian brands, become more prevalent the past few years. I would say it's difficult for me to pinpoint a difference, I don't really look at what everyone else is doing. We are doing our own thing. Mm. I guess what we differentiate from them is we bring a very tailored approach. T. Michael is a tailor. He brings all his expertise. And then with this technical fabric, we make a coat that looks more elegant than you know, in a way we hide the technicality of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, typically, I guess with main waterproof coats and coats that claim to be completely, like you say, shower resistant, waterproof resistant, they don't.
Yeah.
They have to compromise on the cut, I guess, and the actual styling of the jacket itself a lot of the time. So, I think this is almost the refreshing part. Perhaps your USP, would you say, is that it is functional and it does look pretty damn cool.
Definitely, no, thank you. I think that's the main thing of what Alex tried to do from the very beginning. Of course, you know, we can be called raincoats, but at the same time, we're trying to just be, you know, be an outerwear brand. Of course, the waterproof capabilities is an add-on, you know.
Mm. Yeah, and if people want to check out the jackets we're talking about, it's norwegianrain.com. I think you're on the social at Norwegian Rain as well. So I'm guessing, now kind of stop me in my tracks or don't let me put words in your mouth, but with the Scandinavian brands that I've seen, there's very much a no logo, no show type feel to them, you know, very minimalist. They let the clothes do the talking and they have a longevity to them as well. Is that something that you've seen not only in your designs, but from Scandinavia as a whole?
Yeah, no, I think so. As you say, we don't have any logo emblazoned on ours. It's in subtle places, or you know, you can see certain things on the lining. I think that could be the same with a few other Scandinavian brands. But I think that's similar with a lot of the Scandinavian mentality of just being quite minimal but functional.
Mm. Almost, perhaps typically just unassuming. They don't really need to be bling with anything that they do.
Probably, yeah. I guess I've heard someone say a very good expression saying, like an understated luxury, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I quite like that. I mean, could we talk a little bit about the prices of the jackets as well, Chris? I mean, I've seen some of the jackets on there range from like between £500 to £600-700. Do people often bring up the price with you, and do you have to justify why these prices are so?
Sometimes we do have a lot of customers who are familiar with you know, other, I say, outdoor brands such as Macintosh and Aquascutum. So with those price points, they're okay. Of course, being, let's say, a new brand to them, you have to sort of explain and justify why it might be that price.
Mm.
Luckily, I think the garments speak for themselves. So once people take a closer look, they can tell the quality and why it's that price.
And what is your role, out of curiosity? So you're the UK brand manager. What's your day-to-day job?
Yes. So, well, that in some respects is more of a title. We're a small team, but I, of course, take care of all the UK operations. So not only dealing with the store here in London, I'm responsible for that, but doing the communications and marketing relationships, as well as looking for potential partnerships for the future.
So basically it's your job to get the word out and get Norwegian Rain on the lips and into the as a marquee
pretty
name.
Pretty much, yeah.
What if you wanted to move into different countries that don't really need raincoats? I mean, London, you're in England, it's raining like 24/7, but
yeah.
Is there much of a market for you further afield, like Jamaica or anything like that?
Probably not Jamaica. I would say probably the next market beyond where we are now is the likes of maybe Canada and the USA. Uh-huh. I think we have many American customers who come in here in the London store, and they say that we'd be great over there, which is, of course, a nice compliment. And I guess that's something that we are working towards.
Cool. And just lastly, Chris, before I let you go, who's the most famous Swede at the minute? Who would you like to see wearing these clothes?
Who's the famous Swede?
It's the most famous Scandinavian.
that's a tough one. I guess the one that sticks out to me is probably Zlatan Ibrahimovic, just because he's a big sports star.
Uh-huh.
But you have loads of musicians as well.
That's a good shout. I kind of gave the game away because I was thinking of Zlatan as well. That's why I said famous Swede. I lured you down to my path. Brilliant. Thanks, Chris. Well, keep it up. And the brand looks fantastic. Hopefully I'll get down to see the shop sometime soon. And
you're more than welcome.
And again, if anyone wants to check that out, it's norwegianrain.com. And you're whereabouts in Piccadilly, are you?
We're just under Baxter House, so next door to Fortnum & Mason.
Chris Chasseau from Norwegian Rain. I'd like to thank Chris and all my guests this week who has joined me on the podcast. Marcus Gardo from A Day's March. Klaus Bondelin from Klaus Choran. I'd like to thank Inga for coming in.
Yeah, for sure, from Sweden.
And Inga's boyfriend.
I'll rip out your eyes and piss on your brain.
And I'd like to thank you, the listener, for joining us. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. Until then, take care.